Before we turn to our scriptures for this day, let us turn to God in prayer. O God, open our minds and our hearts to your word, read and proclaimed, that we might hear what you have to say to us, and that we might be changed. We pray through Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Old Testament lesson this morning comes from the book of Leviticus, the 19th chapter. You can find that on page 107 in the Old Testament section of our Pew Bibles if you would like to follow along. I will be reading verses 33 and 34. Let us indeed listen for God's word to us. When an alien resides with you in your land, you shall not oppress the alien. The alien who resides with you shall be to you as the citizen among you. You shall love the alien as yourself. For you were aliens in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Our New Testament lesson comes from the 21st chapter of John, verses 15 through 17, and you can find this on page 142 of your Pew Bibles. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter felt hurt because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." The word of the Lord. A long, long time ago, as Debbie and I were preparing to become parents for the very first time, I thought to myself, I'm ready. I'd done a whole lot of reflecting on my own upbringing and had talked with a lot of friends and family about what it took to raise kids, and more importantly, I'd read a lot of stuff. Books on parenting, websites and blogs, and best of all, those priceless articles from Parents Magazine. Yes, I felt that I had done enough and I was fully prepared to take on parenting. And then, of course, I became a parent. And I discovered just how much I didn't know about parenting. Yes, I'd done the research and had the passion and the dedication and all that, but as many of you know, there is just so much more about being a parent. And every time I thought I was finally getting the hang of it, that I finally had it all worked out, something would change. And again, I'd realize that there was even more to parenting. The best I could do was to commit myself to it, to trust in God's grace, and keep on working at trying to be a good parent. Peter was in kind of the same situation. He'd been with Jesus for a long time and had listened to him teach and had witnessed his healings and feedings and other miracles, and he'd learned a whole lot. He felt that he had done enough, and he was completely ready to follow Jesus through thick and thin, no matter what happened. And then came the night of Jesus' betrayal, and his arrest, and his trial, and Peter found himself following Jesus only as far as the courtyard outside. And when he was asked if he was a follower of this accused Jesus, he denied him, not once, not twice, but three times. I think that Peter didn't really understand just how much was involved in following Jesus. In today's passage, the risen Jesus is talking with the now much wiser Peter. Three times, Jesus asks Peter, "Do you love me?" And each time, Peter, keeping in mind that horrible night, says, "Yes, he does love him," which helps to heal the pain and regret of his three denials. But after each response, Jesus then tells Peter to take care of his flock, his people. "Peter, feed my sheep." Now, earlier on, Peter might have had a much more simplistic understanding of this instruction, perhaps thinking more of the literal feeding of the 5,000. But now, Peter knows full well that there is so much more to being a follower of Jesus than he used to think. Feeding Jesus' flock, caring for God's people, will be so very much more than simply food. In fact, it'll be more than he'll ever fully realize. We, too, are called to feed God's sheep. And we know that it's so much more involved than simply feeding others. In Matthew's gospel, we're given a very, very brief list of what this means. Feed the hungry, give drink to the thirsty, care for the sick, clothe the naked, comfort those in prison. But we know that this, too, is only the tip of the iceberg. A complete list of how we can care for God's people would have no end. Now, this sounds very daunting, I'm sure. So much to do, so many ways to feed God's sheep. But I think we should see it as exactly the opposite. In telling Peter to love his people, Jesus is reminding us of his last and greatest commandment from a few chapters earlier. Love each other as I have loved you. Feed his sheep, just as he had been feeding them. It isn't a burden to care for God's people. It's a divine privilege. We are asked to share in the work that Jesus himself does, to go out and to care for all of creation. And to continue the food analogy, it's really kind of like a big smorgasbord. Everywhere we go, everywhere we turn, everyone we see are wonderful opportunities for us to join in this divine work. How many ways can we serve others today or tomorrow or the next day? Just so much for us on our plates. And of course, we can literally feed God's sheep by giving food to the local food bank or food pantries like we have here in the church. And we can give money to organizations that feed hungry people around the world. We can also give items that are needed, such as clothing or kitchen items or furniture. And we can give our time and energy to work on habitat houses or clean up after disasters with PDA, the Presbyterian Disaster Assistance, or care for our church garden. We can also feed God's sheep by caring for others who are grieving or who are going through difficult times in their lives, like the work that our Congregational Care Committee does. We can feed God's sheep by reaching out to those who are different from us, like we do with PIRD, the Presbyterian Interracial Dialogue, or those who are of different faiths, like our brothers and sisters in the temple next door. We can feed God's sheep in worship, in prayer, in song, in proclaiming God's word, and in sharing in the Lord's Supper, which we'll do later on this morning. We can feed God's sheep by teaching about our faith, like we do in our wide assortment of Sunday school classes, from our oldest to our youngest, with confirmation class and everything, all different levels. We can feed God's sheep by sharing in fellowship, like we do with our Wednesday fling meals, or our ABC and XYZ groups, and our dinners for eight. And another way we can feed God's sheep is through campus ministry. Many of you know that I'm a campus pastor over at Wake Forest University. Campus ministry is one of those strange areas of ministry that I'm not sure we've got figured out just yet. College students are, in a way, sojourners, or as the Old Testament passage said, aliens. They're on a journey belonging to more than just one place. They are, of course, legally adults, but they're adults who've just left their parents' homes with their parents making many of their choices for them. Now they're in a place where the choices will be theirs. This can be both an exciting time, where they can explore so much of the world that the world has to offer, but also a challenging time, where they can be overwhelmed by those choices, and sometimes have to face the consequences of some pretty terrible choices. This is also a time when most people tend to leave the church. Studies have shown that only a slight fraction continue with any kind of organized religion during their college years. College is an incredible time of great exploration, transition, risk-taking, and growth in all kinds of ways. So, how do we share the journey with these young people? How do we feed these college students? There are many, many ways, and they differ depending on which campus group you're looking at. At Presby, our ministry at Wake Forest, we feed them by literally feeding them. Every week, we gather around a common table with dinner graciously provided by a local church group, many of which have come from right here at Highland. Thank you for that, by the way. Around such a table of hospitality, we can relax and unwind, share stories, complain about whatever, and feel a sense of security and comfort as we bond with other members of our Presby family. We also feed them by providing opportunities for nurture and growth with challenging Bible studies, lively discussion nights, thought-provoking documentaries, and by inviting a variety of speakers to come and share their thoughts and experiences on faith matters. We feed them by bringing our group together with other ministries: the Lutheran, Episcopalian, Baptist, Catholic, Muslim, and Jewish student groups have all been partners with Presby. We've come together as a team to raise funds at Hit the Bricks for Brian Piccolo. We've entertained local school children at Project Pumpkin and joined around larger common tables for Shrove Tuesday dinners and Seder dinners. We feed our students by participating with them in the college conferences at Montreat every January, in which they meet other college students from across the country, share in large and small group sessions and workshops, and enjoy a great time away in a beautiful place. We also feed our students by providing a local board of directors, the Presbyterian Campus Ministries of Winston-Salem, which includes both Presby at Wake Forest and the PCUSA Campus Ministry over at Salem College. This board, with members from different Presbyterian churches, gives guidance and support for carrying out our ministries. And of course, we're forever exploring new ways to feed our college students. Feed my sheep, Jesus tells us. So very, very much more than simply giving food. It's an invitation to join in God's divine work, and it urges us to explore and discover a smorgasbord of ways that we can care for God's people. Every day, as we go about our lives, let us joyfully and eagerly continue to ask, how do we feed them? Amen.